Ocho Ways.
Welcome back to our Cultural Waves podcast. Together with Anton Dinnerstein. Hello, Anton.
Hello.
A Polonez-based research fellow at the Institute of Slavic Studies of the Polish Academy of Sciences, we will again discuss the issue of studying culture. But before that, let's first hear a song from the Belarusian underground scene. That will be the leading musical topic of today's episode.
Got it.
That was Please Rewind by HMX. Anton, as I remember, you were mentioning ethnography earlier. Could you explain what is it and how it helps your research?
So there is ethnography of communication. Basically, similarly to other ethnographic approaches, one of the central things for ethnography of communication is culture. And that's why we're talking about ethnography, because this was one of the first methods to study culture that such anthropologists like Malinowski or Margaret Mead used, for example. They went somewhere in distant land and studied cultures that were unknown to Western civilization, or maybe not very well understood. And they tried to interpret these cultures, but despite the centrality of culture, there is no unified idea of how to approach culture, even among the ethnographers, basically. And so, for example, there is like microethnography, and it's focused on the moment-by-moment construction of meaning. And then ethnography as rooted in anthropology, for example, like classical things, mostly focused on physical and nonverbal forms of meaning, at least in the beginning. Then it changed like to cultural anthropology or linguistic anthropology. They study language and speech, but in a social context, because you cannot just study language as a grammar and a system of some kind of signs not connected to the social context.
Okay, so the ethnography of communication.
And then ethnography of communication is basically a sociolinguistic approach. So you use a community where the language happens in the context, and basically you learn this language in the context of this community, in their everyday lives, their interactions. And in this way, you can study both language and culture, and then you can study cultures through language and through interaction. In the earlier versions, it was called speech communities. But then later it was reconceptualized into basically studying communication, speech as communication, not just focusing on language and speaking, but also on different nonverbal actions or different types of communication that can happen. For example, we sit here at the table, converse, and this is a communication event because it happens in a specific setting, place. There are participants who interact. We use language or some kind of signs to communicate with each other, and based on observing this activity, including what we speak about and how we speak about it, we can learn something about the culture of this local thing here.
Okay, so let's stop here for a while and listen to the song Ride by Rich Chamomile. And Anton, what kind of communication events were you observing during your research?
For example, one of the activities I observed during my dissertation research was an event called Poetry Yard, within the summer festival called Peshekhodka, basically pedestrian zone, if translated to English. It was in Minsk, in upper town, and this was like a small event with a bigger within a bigger festival, urban festival, where a lot of musicians, artists did some performances, and then they had specific program, like they showed movies and other stuff. But then one of them was Poetry Yard. And at first, it was when I first encountered this event, it was happening on the street outside, on a public place, like a small plaza. Like probably maybe 50 to 100 people were sitting like on curbs, railings, like smoking, speaking to each other and listening to poets. They had like just like speakers and microphones in the other area, in the open area. And then there was a person who was introducing poets. She was speaking in Belarusian language. And then there was the first poet who came and she started speaking in Russian, reciting the poetry in Russian, and it was happening in Belarus. So there is like interaction of these two languages, for example. And then the thing was, this event felt really informal. But then what happens? I signed up to participate for the next event because I write poems myself and it was interesting to see how it works. But then suddenly it was cancelled by somebody and people who organized it had to move to an unofficial public place. And this was like a pub, a beer market basically. They had a stage, a tent, a good sound system. And I was first thinking that probably it was because it will be easier for people, better, that that will protect them from sun. They will have a good sound system and stuff. But then something was different because, as I was told later, somebody probably from the authorities didn't like people coming in public, especially like probably they didn't know how they will react, what the content of poems will be. If they use Belarusian language in public, it might be tricky. And then one of the participants of this group earlier gave an interview to an oppositional media outlet. And then you see that you uncover these layers of meanings based on one activity, and then you can study, for example, the content of poems. But this makes no sense in this case because you just see what happens. Like, people recite poetry, then they move to another place, then they need to reschedule. Something happens in this, so like this, for example. Then you analyze this, you speak with them, and they comment on what is happening, and they produce the metacultural commentary about who they are, who set them to move from this place, how they call themselves, how they call what they do. And then based on uncovering basically this meaning from the cultural text, you understand what is happening and how culture operates in this particular instance.
Okay, that was really interesting. And I guess the time has come for the last question. I believe it's important to ask this one. What, as a researcher, should you be aware of when you do research about culture?
So one thing you should be aware of is that an ethnography of communication specifically tries to say that it's better to try and use naturally occurring data as data for your analysis. And what does it mean? Because the presence of the observer can always change things. It means that you do not create context artificially like an interview or like stage recording, but you try to go inside like with this community. For example, I went there, I saw what they do, I observed them talk, and I didn't try to stage this activity. And then people organically comment on what is happening when you don't stage the context. This is one thing. And then it's always better to have this naturally occurring data because you can see how communication unfolds in the context. Even if the observer can sometimes... people might feel uncomfortable, for example, if they have a recorder in front of them or something. But then in 20 minutes they get used to it and they continue doing what they usually do. And then another thing is important to try to distinguish facts that you observe from your interpretation of these facts. For example, when I said like this was a poetry reading, this is my interpretation because I saw people reciting poems and I said, okay, this is poetry. But for example, imagine that they come from different culture. I don't know what a poem is, or I don't know what a poetry reading works in a different place. And then what I see, like I see a person standing with some kind of a stick. Then you have to see some kind of square boxes around, and then they say something, and then people sit around and they try to describe it first without trying to interpret. And then you can interpret it. But the thing from this approach is that you don't just interpret it from how you think it is. You try to interpret it based on what people say. And then you can find arguments, you can find ethical statements, you can find different judgments and different definitions of words or worlds around the environment, basically, in these indigenous cultural terms. And then usually if you do this, you change a lot of what you thought before this. Because when you come to the fields, you initially have some ideas of what it is about. When you go there and you try to be open-minded, like an open investigative approach, you have a general puzzle, but then you don't know the research question. You don't know the end of your research, where it's going. You know, you maybe have a hypothesis, but I don't think it's really good to have a hypothesis even. Just go and see. Oh, for example, like, it's interesting. Why do they put ice in the water? What the hell is going on there? And then you try to understand and kind of unlayer this meaning. Why this is happening in this culture? And you don't try to interpret. They put ice probably because it's too hot. No, you don't know. There is something else that may be going on. So that's kind of the idea.
Okay, so it's not that obvious. And it's really super important to mind the difference between facts and interpretations. Thank you for this talk, Anton. Let's finish with the last song today by Sayus, I Knew It. Так и знала, я теперь смех держать не могу. Промчиться на думу.